We thank you for listening to the weekly sermon of First United Methodist Church, Missouri City, Texas. We're a church that's making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. For more information about the church and its ministries, or how we can pray for you, visit us on the web at fumcmc.org. If you desire to make a quick contribution in support of our ministries, you can text to give. Simply text the amount you want to give to 281-369-4870 and follow the instructions. And now, as you listen, we hope that you find this podcast meaningful and transformational in your journey of faith.
Okay, kiddos, come on down. You gotta sit next to me today, Caitlin. Come on, come on. Watch the table. Well, hello, Maya. Watch the table. Okay, everybody, sit on your pockets as fast as you can. Okay, so I got to tell you a little story. Yesterday, some of you may know that my family, we're big University of Houston sports fans, okay? Yesterday, the University of Houston played in a really big game, and this game was played against... It just so happens that it's Pastor Marty's favorite team. Pastor Marty and my family, we all went to the game together. And let me tell you what happened. The Cougars lost.
The first time in 2 years at home.
Go Cougs. Look at that. Now, here's why they lost. There's lots of reasons, but here's what I noticed. The biggest reason they lost is that they did not at all play like a team. They did not work together. They did not love together. And here's what we're going to do, because this reminded me of us. I want everyone to stand up, and we're going to try this. I want you to make a big circle around this table, okay? I want you to make a circle right here. Make a circle, like you're in PE class, okay? And I want, come on, circle up. You big kids help the little ones. Come on, Ian, up here. Come on, I want everyone to hold hands. Everybody hold hands. There's no cooties. Come on, hold hands, boys. Here, you guys hold hands right there, and I'm gonna help everybody. Okay, right here. Okay, hold hands, right here, come down here. Everybody has to be in the circle. Everybody has to be in the circle. Hold hands with Olivia. Logan, ready? Okay. Come on, you big kids. Nora, help them. Cole, Tyndall, come back. Back up. Promises was not like this in my classroom. Come on, back up. Okay, everybody hold hands. Now, I'm going to bring out this little magic thing I have, okay? This is called a love tube. Okay, now here's the thing. I'm going to hold Caitlin's hand, and I'm going to hold the love tube, and I'm going to see what happens. Back up a little bit. We're going to see what happens when we all are together. Hold the tube. Wait. Everybody better be holding hands. Okay, ready? Hold it right there. Right. Okay, hold on. Okay, hold it just like that. Okay. Can y'all hear it? Okay. We're all together. Now, Miss Fox, put your hands up in the air. What happened? It stopped. Because we're not together. Not every single one of us is linked. And guys, this is what this church is about. If not every single one of us is linked, we are not one. And we are no longer together. It doesn't matter what we look like or what we wear or who we love. We are love together. together. Pray with me, guys. Dear God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for taking care of us. Thank you for our family, our friends, our pets, and this awesome church. Amen.
So the real reason why UH lost yesterday is because they couldn't sink a free throw. Who was that? Who watched that game on ESPN national TV? UCF Knights took them out. UCF can't beat LSU, but by God, we can sure take care of. And I have not seen him since we came in, Matt. Is Reverend Sidner Thompson in here? Stand up. Reverend Thompson was an associate pastor here. What year? 88, 89. Who was senior pastor?
Mac Hood.
Ah, T-Mac. Yeah. Well, welcome. We're glad you're here, but we're sorry you're here. Because Reverend Thompson's here because he's getting some treatment at MD Anderson. So we're glad he's here, but we're sorry he's here. So there is a story that is told about one of the most prolific, brilliant theologians of all time. The theologian's name was a man named Karl Barth. Karl Barth is credited for writing a 13-volume work called Church Dogmatics that in this set is everything he believes, his entire theology, and it is over 8,000 pages long. And the story goes, he was lecturing at University of Chicago, and there came time for a question and answer period, and a student raised his hand and said, "Dr. Barth, you have written over 8,000 pages, 6 million words. Can you sum it all up in one sentence?" Well, the story goes that Barth thought for a moment and said, "In the words of a song I learned at my mother's knee, I can do that." And he began to sing, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, and he is strong." End of lecture. Now, it is not uncommon for theologians, for preachers, for rabbis to be asked that question, to sum up their theology in a simple, concise manner. Now, not everyone is as prolific as Karl Barth. Not everyone is as brilliant as Karl Barth. But 2,000 years before Karl Barth sang the song, "Jesus Loves Me," in answer to the question, Jesus was asked the same question. See, the Pharisees were, well, let me just read it out of Matthew's gospel. It should be on the board behind me. If you have your church app that you can download on Android or Apple Store, you can go to the Bible verse there, Matthew chapter 22. This is what he writes. "When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees that gathered there, one of them, a lawyer..." You know the two people Jesus had most problems with? Lawyers and ministers. Just saying. Any lawyers in the room? No, none now. Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and prophets. So what Jesus did when asked the question, he went back to the Deuteronomy text, which is known as the Shema, and he gave an answer every Jewish person there expected to hear, to love God. But then, as the heads were nodding in agreement, Jesus did what Jesus liked to do. He kind of flipped it upside down. Because he said, not only do you love God, he said, love your neighbor as yourself. Love God, love people. And according to Jesus, that sums it all up. The entire Hebrew scripture. Love God, love your neighbor. Just so happens that we're finishing up our Firm Foundation series where we have gone over what I like to call the three E's, that if I ever plant a church again, if I ever am sent to a church to bring it back up to life, this will be the E's, this will be the core values of that church. Three E's. We went with the first one, explore truth, which simply said, you don't have to check your brain in at the door. God expects you to use it. Second one, experience grace, where we have the opportunity to feel, to taste, to know the grace that comes from a loving but just, all-powerful, all-merciful God. And then today, it is all about express love. Love God. Love people. Express love. Now, when I talk about expressing love, I think we have to look at two different avenues. We begin by talking about expressing love outside the church walls. And John, I was supposed to draw on the iPad there, wasn't I? Oh, well. We were trying something new. I forgot. Express love outside the walls, and then, but also express love inside the walls. How do we express love to those outside our church? And just as importantly, if not, in my opinion, more importantly, how do we express love to the community we call First United Methodist Church, Missouri City? And I think if you turn to Paul's letter to the Ephesians, we get a pretty good answer. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. This is what it says. It says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Did you catch what Paul's saying? If you want to express love, then he says, as followers of Jesus, we always take our cue from Jesus himself, that Jesus is the gold standard. And if you want to love, then you learn to love like Jesus. That simple. So here's my question. What did Jesus do when he loved? Leave that up there. Okay? So here's your assignment. I want you to stand. Stand. We do this sometimes, stand, okay? And I want you to, now, you're going to chit-chat for a second, and I know that, and I can tell you not to, but just remember, the more you chit-chat, the longer we go, and we're not going to beat the Baptist to the lunch place, okay? So you can chit-chat for a second, but what I want you to do is I want you to come up with one word, right? Share one word, a verb. If you don't know what a verb is, English teachers, raise your hand. I don't want adverbs. I want a verb of what Jesus did when he loved. Go ahead. Take a moment and do that.
Go ahead.
Jesus do when he loved? Go ahead, have a seat. Does anyone want to share their word? Just anyone, someone. Richard. He healed. What else? Died. Forgave. Someone over here. Yes, ma'am. Stand up. On the table, on the pew. Stand up on the pew. I want to hear you. Stand up. Hey. What? Loved. Right. He loved, he healed, he forgave, he died. What else? He what? He washed the feet. Washed the feet. That's three words, but we'll give it to you. Yes, ma'am. He gave. These are all great words, and they are all actions of one sort or another, but here's mine. Okay? It's more than one word. Because I think when you get the, hey, I'm a preacher. I think when you get all of these together, what we're really saying is what Jesus did when he loved is he got close to us. See, because he didn't have to, right? He didn't have to get, he didn't have to get his hands dirty. He didn't have to get his, he got close to us. He chose to come into this world and get right next to the hurt and the pain and the disease. And let me try explain it this way. Show of hands. How many of you have ever been to a Buc-ee's? Raise your hand. Buc-ee's. Okay, now, hands down. Who has never been to a Buc-ee's and why not? Okay. Those of you who have been to Buc-ee's, why do you go to Buc-ee's besides the Beaver Nuggets? The bathrooms, right? Right? Everyone knows that the bathrooms at Buc-ee's are the best bathrooms. You know why? Because they're always clean. Right? Now, how many of you have been traveling? There is no Buc-ee's, and you stop at a truck stop. I was going to show you pictures of a truck stop bathroom, but they were just, let's just say it this way, men are just messy. Right, right. And if you've ever been to one of those truck stops, you know what I'm talking about. And you go into the bathroom and you come up with a plan of action of how not to touch anything, right? Right? You grab paper towels and you put them under your arm so that after you wash your hands, you don't have to touch the faucet, and you save the one paper towel so you can what? Not touch that. You know what I'm talking about. I had a professor in seminary use the truck stop bathroom as an example. This was before Buc-ee's. And he said this. He said the problem with the church is that we often treat the world like it's a truck stop bathroom. We don't want to touch it. We don't want to be involved in it. We just think that's dirty, and we just want to love God. Let me just love God, and because I'm going to heaven, I don't need this earth. Problem is, Jesus says, love God, love your neighbor. We sometimes forget that God got his hands dirty just to find us. And if we're going to make a difference in this world, if we're going to love like Jesus, then we're going to have to be willing to engage with the truck stop bathroom. I want you to understand, I'm not saying that the people out there are dirty. What I said was, we sometimes treat them like they are. We call them those people rather than us people. We label and we push aside people to the margins who don't look like us or dress like us or smell like us or act like us. That's not the church. Did you know that in the first 3 centuries of the church, the first 300 years the church existed, every decade the church grew by more than 40%. So at the end of 300 years, there was a bunch of the Roman Empire that was converted to Christianity. And you want to know how it grew? There is a sociologist, a man by the name of Rodney Stark, who says this. This is why it grew. He says, the early followers of Jesus were simply more compassionate than others around them. In real and tangible ways, they simply, and I love this, if I was going to write on it, this is where I would, outloved others, and the world took notice. The early church simply was known for outloving anyone else, and it exploded. How are you doing? How are we doing at outloving everyone else? Express love. Out. Now, I want you to listen. I have 6 people we're going to read. I want you to listen to these scriptures. See if you can pick up a common theme. Go ahead. Who's first? Stand, go. Microphone on.
Or encourage one another and build up each other as you indeed you are doing.
But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin.
And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you.
For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love, become slaves to one another.
Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive.
With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love.
For this is the message you have heard from the beginning, that you should love one another. Did you catch it? Common words used throughout. One another. In fact, nearly 50 times in the New Testament, we are told about how to treat one another. It matters to God how we treat one another inside the walls. It matters how we love in here. Now, I wish I could tell you that loving one another was easy. Heck, I wish I could tell you that being in community like this is easy. But newsflash, not fake news, community isn't easy. It is hard. I love the way Palmer Parker puts it. He says, Parker Palmer, he says, we might define true community as a place where the person you least want to live with actually lives. Right? I mean, you need to start thanking people in your life because they're teaching you how to live in community. You know the one that bugs you the most? They're teaching you how to be in community. Community is messy. Expressing love is risky. It's not easy for us to be together when we are so different. Those of you who didn't listen to me and you watched General Conference or you read Facebook or the tweets, you know how ugly it got in St. Louis. And like I wrote in the email, there was no one who watched that has a heart who wasn't wounded and wasn't hurt, no matter which side of the aisle you were on. We did not show love to a world who was watching. And whether I agree with you or you agree with me, that doesn't really matter. Because we are in this community. And as messy as it can be, we are still called to outlove everyone else. Now, I've been here since December 1st, 2013. I don't know how long that is. That's how long. I remember that because Bishop Huey gave me this as my birthday present. Happy birthday, your first Sunday. And I will tell you this. As long as I am the pastor here, the tagline that used to define the United Methodist Church will define us. Open hearts. Open minds. Open doors. That's how we will be. And I know it's hard. I mean, when we had an African American on staff, we lost families. I was handed notes during communion that I can't worship here anymore with those people. And it hurts. Because that's not the church. We live in a diverse community, and we are a diverse church, and that is who we are. That's what it means to outlove everybody else. And I know, I mean, I'm not the brightest bulb on the tree, but I've gotten enough emails and I've seen enough to know there are people who aren't coming to church anymore because we have embraced the gay and lesbian community. We have welcomed gay and lesbian families into our church, and there are people who we won't see again. And I know there are people who come to Sunday school, but they won't come into church because of that. If you don't want to come to church because you don't want my preaching, that's fine. I can handle that. But we are a diverse community, and we embrace everyone or we embrace no one. I don't know where to draw the line. In fact, if you want to take Jesus seriously, I shouldn't be standing here. I'm divorced. Jesus said more about people like me. And you embrace me. We are a diverse community. We have people of color. We have straight. We have gay. We have Republican. We have Democrat. We have rich. We have middle class. We have poor. I want you, do me a favor. Just stand up for a moment. I want you to stand up. And I know it's hard. I want you to look around for just a moment. Just look around. I mean, if you could see what I see, you know what this is? Believe it or not, this is what heaven is going to be like right here. This is it. And if you don't like this, eternity is going to be a really long time. Go ahead, have a seat. Look, I don't know what you need. I know what I need. I know I need you. I need you. And if we're going to spread extravagant love into the community and around the world, we better be spreading a bunch of it right here. And maybe you're not that different than me. Maybe we are different. But here's what I need. I need somebody who's going to provide grace for me. I know I need somebody who's going to give me a break now and then when I mess up. I need somebody who loves me and forgives me. I need somebody who wants to walk beside me, to pick me up when I stumble, to let me lean on them when I am tired, to push me when I need to be pushed, to love me when I need to be loved, to encourage me when I feel like quitting, and to be at my side when everyone else abandons me. And I need somebody who will always remind me that I will never be alone. Anyone else need people like that? That's what we have here. The church exploded and the world was changed because people like you outloved everyone else. And if we want the church to explode, and if we want to change the world, it ain't going to happen from the preaching, not from the children's program, not from the youth program. Sorry, Matt, not even from the music. It's going to happen when we outlove everybody else. Jesus said this in John's gospel. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. And by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Now, I'm not a great theologian, I'm not a great preacher. No one's probably ever going to ask me, hey, Marty, sum it up, everything you believe. But if you were to ask me, I would tell you this. Explore truth. Experience grace. And most of all, express love. Because that's what we do at a table. A table that Jesus prepared. And I think he prepared it for a day like this. I think he had this in mind when he took bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he offered it. And he said, take, eat. For this is my body, broken for you. Do this and remember. Remember that I love you. Then he passed it around and everyone took a piece. Then he grabbed a cup. And again, he gave thanks, and again, he blessed it, and again, he offered it. And he said, this is no longer just fruit of the vine. This is now my blood poured out for you, for many, so that all our sins may be forgiven and that nothing will ever divide us. Do this and remember that I died for you. And each one in the room took their bread, and they dipped it in the cup, and they received. And that's what we're about to do. We're invited to a meal. If you have been asked to help serve, if you'll come forward, I think Barbara and Matt will serve you. So if you're serving, if you'll come forward. And for the rest of us, I say this every month. If I could, I would do it every week. But every month I tell you the same thing. This is not a table that belongs to First United Methodist Church, Missouri City. This is not our table. This is not a Methodist table. It is the table that Jesus prepared, which is it's like a long-winded way of saying you are invited. You don't have to be a member of this church. You don't have to be a member of any church. If you are here today, you are invited to come to receive. And the way we do it is simple. We have some pretty brilliant ushers who will guide you and direct you. And I think there's four stations today. And they'll just help, just follow the ushers. They're gonna get you to where you have to go. And someone's gonna hand you a piece of bread and they're gonna say something like, this is the body of Christ broken for you. And right next to them will be someone with a cup and they're gonna say something like, this is the blood of Christ shed for you. Take the bread, dip it in the cup. Okay, if you accidentally eat the bread first, leave it in your mouth. We don't double dip in the United Methodist Church, but we do receive. We also receive an offering. If you want to leave something on the altar rail, please feel free to. All that money will go to Armstrong Elementary, I think, to help with some of the ministries we do there. If you are gluten-free, over there. Gluten-free people over there. That way. Questions? Great. Won't you come? And now may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you, give you peace both now and forever. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit go from this place. And may the peace and the love and the grace of God go with you. And may you know, may you remember, may you never forget that there is nothing you can do, nothing that will ever make God love you less. Because when God sees us, he doesn't see the mistakes that we make. He simply says, wow, you're nothing but. And can you imagine for a moment if you lived your day believing that while treating others like you believe that? Wow. You'd have a pretty good day. Take care. God bless. See you Tuesday night.
Let's sing one of the last verse together.